Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Wednesday, July 8th, 2020. I'm Beckler.
That was a nice one. Not too offensive, not too punchy.
Not too southern. I gotta do better tomorrow then.
Well, you just did. There you go.
We've had some varied shows this week, haven't we?
We've had
some really silly shit and then also some pretty heavy stuff.
It's been a big variety. It's been a variety show.
So normally we put the heritage moment at the end of these podcasts because we're not sure if you're listening from Calgary, if you're interested in Calgary history or not. But today's, I think, if you normally skip the heritage moment, you're definitely going to want to listen to. I thought it was super cool, kind of spooky.
A little bit spooky.
It's pretty cool though. Not about Calgary itself, but about an area just west of here.
Mm-hmm.
We also got some. A couple terms that they use in Australia that you may not have known about. That's coming up, but first.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I don't know about you, but I've started to develop quite the collection of face coverings here.
Yeah, I've got some kicking in my backpack and in my console and my vehicle.
And there's quite a number of alternatives now. And I was thinking, I know we did the definitive hand sanitizer rankings. Perhaps we could do the face covering rankings as
I'm
well.
I'm down. I'm okay. 100% down.
Excellent.
So if you're ranking face coverings, mm-hmm. COVID masks, what's your top pick? If you had them all laid out in front of you, and we should say this isn't based on like effectiveness,
no.
Because obviously you could wear like a full hazmat suit.
That would be the most effective.
We're going with like style and comfort,
yes.
While still protecting you.
Mm-hmm. I've got to say, I think the classic surgical mask, the disposable one, is still my favorite.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a lot of waste though.
I know, and this is the problem. That's why I'm like, okay, I like them, but that's the thing against them is that they're very wasteful.
But they are probably the most comfortable, I would say.
Probably. They feel like less on your face.
Yeah.
Which maybe isn't a good thing, but
my first pick was going to be, and this could be second, I guess, but like the hand-knitted ones that you see are the handmade ones, mm-hmm. with the two ties.
Yeah.
I have one from Hippo Hug. And it's really comfortable. It's not like too heavy that it feels like it's restricting your breathing, and you can wash them, and those are great. And they come in fun patterns.
They sure do. Although then you can get beyond that to the homemade ones that they made a little too thick. I don't know if you've seen those. Like the people think that triple protection, like a diaper, is better, but then you can't breathe out of it, right? Like
I was at a restaurant where all the servers were wearing like the Mortal Kombat style ones, and they looked cool, but I think they were made out of denim.
Yeah.
And the girls looked like they were dying.
Yeah, you start to actually hyperventilate. You're like, I'm losing oxygen here. Someone help.
But they looked badass.
That's good, I guess. What about the N95, the dust mask ones?
I don't like putting them on.
Okay.
Because it's like putting a swim cap on and it kind of pulls at your hair. Once they're on, they're fine.
Yeah.
And I use those whenever I'm working with MDF in my wood shop, so I'm kind of used to those.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other one I'd like to add is the Highway Robber, the bandana.
Oh.
What about that one? Would you throw that in as a face covering?
Is it effective?
That's what I'm not sure.
Because, I wear one of those when I snowboard as a face covering.
Yes.
So, I'm cool with those.
And I like the look of that.
You can get fun patterns on those, too.
That would be up there if it was effective at all.
Okay.
What about the face shield?
The face shield, I think, it's a good one.
I saw a woman the other day, and it looked like she had a full FBI, like, SWAT team shield hanging off of her face. It was obnoxious. I was just like, that might be a little overkill, but
doesn't restrict your vision or your breathing at all.
It is true. Still.
So that's a nice one. Mm-hmm. You just have to keep it clean.
Yes.
To keep that thing clean.
Yeah,
could you wear a ski mask, or would that be ineffective? Could you wear a balaclava, a shlalilava? Could you wear one?
I probably could. I don't know if that's effective, though, or if it's more too breathable. Is that a thing?
I've seen people wearing like the full respirators that you would wear if you're like spraying chemicals, almost like the World War I gas mask, and those to me seem to be the worst.
Yes, that not only is the worst for maybe wearing, but also just to freak the hell out of everybody around you. You see that, you're like, ah! Put on the tornado warning siren behind you and you're like, oh my God.
What aisle is the tea in?
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Friend of the show, Landon, sent me a message with a submission for the worst lyrics of 2020 so far.
Fantastic.
The song is called Beer 30 by Florida Georgia Line.
Okay.
Of course, it is a country song. They all seem to be appropriate, too, because it's would-be Stampede Week here. But I'll just play a clip of this song for you, and you can be the judge, Shauna.
Okay.
It's Beer 30, and I'm thirsty. I've been working like a dog all week long, so maybe something cold won't hurt me, because it's beer.
Oh, did, yeah.
What do you think about that?
Oh,
let's
wow.
Let's jump ahead here.
Bottle, get a can. I'll probably get a couple in each hand. Either I'm half lit or there's a keg in the corner. I'm considering it doing me a keg stand. I'm getting day drunk.
I've that's bad.
I've had a wild hair here lately. It's feeling like oh, college that's all over again, because everybody.
Like, I think even calling that music is a real stretch. That's just barely music.
Did someone just, like, yeah, that sounds like someone is legitimately wasted, and they just put on a beat and just started saying things. It's burr 30.
Get a bottle.
I'm thirsty.
Get a can. Might get one in each hand.
Put a keg stand. Someone give me
they're
some
like, we need
alerts.
A song in the next 5 minutes. God. Go.
Like, I'm on Beer 30. I'm thirsty.
So that band, I mean, they do have some good songs, but I think they have kind of, they're to country music what Nickelback was to rock in like the early 2000s. They've kind of done the same thing where it's like super formulaic.
Yeah.
And like almost kind of like what is the lowest effort we can put in to hit, you know, to hit the charts, to hit the radio.
You know what it does, though? It makes me feel good because I'm like, I could probably write a song. That's what that does. It inspires me.
Yep.
It inspires me to be like, I can write something better than that. It's very hurty. I'm thirsty. Holy.
It's bad. That's a front runner.
My marinade hand.
Some of the worst lyrics of 2020 so far.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Yesterday, I stumbled across the Italian version of a Rolling Stones song. Did you know that this existed?
Can't say I did.
It's called As Tears Go By, which you may know, but they've translated it into Italian. And I'll just have a little quick clip here for you.
Il sole sta per tramontare. Dei bimbi corona
giocare. Is that Mick?
I think so. When you hear it, it's like live. There's a bunch of live versions online as well, and none of them sound like Mick, really. So I don't know if someone else is singing. I couldn't tell. It's just that they have this, and I guess they play it for their Italian fans when they go to Italy the odd time. That's really the only time they bust it out.
And do the Italian fans go nuts for it?
They do.
Yeah.
But it, I mean, it doesn't sound that great to me. Like, any of the versions aren't awesome.
No, I gotta agree with you there.
And you and I, we've been known to the odd time try and translate some Canadian songs into different languages as well.
I was going to say, we've long been supporters of like encouraging Canadian artists to, you know, expand their potential fan bases and
their reach, right?
Cater to audiences in different languages, particularly French, but yes. Right, we could do Italian too.
I was thinking so. Maybe like instead of April Wine, it would probably be April Vino.
I don't know what an electric guitar sounds like in Italian. If we're talking Canadian hits in another language, we gotta have some hip in there.
La mia parola non è venuto, non importa. Coraggio.
And then, of course, there's Mother Mother, which in Italian I assume would be Mamma Mia.
Is that how it translates? Or close enough?
It's close.
Close enough, okay.
Lonely, lost in pain.
Va tutto bene, va bene, va tutto bene, sto bene, va tutto bene, bene.
I think those were just Italian sounds.
It sounded pretty good, though. It was trying to convince you of
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
So in Australia, they use a phrase that I think we need to adopt immediately, Beckler.
Is it the C word?
Nope. Not that one.
Because they're fond of that one there.
They use it very liberally. Yes, oh, yeah. Very, very fond.
It's about the sharpest word I can think of here.
It's true. And there, as you hear it, you're like, ha!
Cuts through the din. I had to get used to it living there.
You would. Just
flying around.
Yeah, there's a few places that use that word a lot more liberally than here, and you're like, okay.
So it's not the C word.
It's not that.
Okay.
So you know how here, if someone looks frightened or pale or a little perturbed or something, we use the phrase, it looks like you saw a ghost, right? Like, you look like you saw a ghost. Well, in Australia, the phrase they use for that state of bewilderment is, he just stood there like a stunned mullet. Or he looks like a stunned mullet.
Once again, I thought the last word in that phrase was going to be the C word. Because I've heard that version of it too. A stunned C.
You're right. That is also a term, but
stunned
it's not
mullet
that one.
Is one we can say on the radio.
A stunned mullet is one that we can say. And I had no idea that that was a phrase that was used. And I like that way better than it looks like you saw a ghost. You look like a stunned mullet over there.
I'm picturing some Terry.
Oh my God.
With a little mustache and a...
I picture a Terry that like stuck his finger in a socket and his mullet is just all like up on end.
Terry, what happened? You look stunned, Terry.
You look like a stunned mullet over there.
You'll like this one. I don't know if this is common in Australia or if this was just amongst the people that I hung out with when I was there, but someone who's acting too macho, like a guy who's acting too macho, they refer to him as a Terry Tough C.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Or if you want to clean it up a bit, Terry Tough Buff. Check out Terry Tough Buff over there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Guy who's flexing on the beach.
You know, Australia really does have some good phrases
they
and terms for things. Like, they've really come up with some good ones. And this is one that I was like, I'm going to use that from now on. Anytime somebody looks like they're a little bit scared or something, looks like you look like a stunned mullet over there.
It's got to come from being off on your own in the middle of the ocean there. You got nothing to do but to come up with your own stuff.
It's true. Yeah, come up with your own phrases. Mix things up a bit.
Even a lot of the phrases that I use are from my friends in Saskatchewan who, there's some long winters there, man. You're just sitting around coming up with funnier ways to say things. So
yeah, you sit in the corner and you can't do anything else. You drink beer and come up with good terms for things.
You look like a stunned mullet.
Like a stunned mullet. Holy hell, Beckler, you look like a stunned mullet over there.
Jesus, Terry, what happened to you?
He actually electrocuted himself, for sure.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Did you know that in Australia they pronounce AC/DC differently than here?
I didn't.
They say Akadaka.
Come on.
Now, I was watching this video, and it was this video between two girls, and one of them is from Australia and one of them is from Canada, and they were just talking about the differences in speech, and AC/DC came up, and she was like, Akadaka, and both her friends stopped, and so did I, and I'm like, no way, and she's like, no, Akadaka, and then I Googled it, and sure as hell, everyone verified that is how they say AC/DC there, is Akadaka.
Okay, well, the band is Australian, so how do they say it?
I assume AC/DC. I
so
don't
that should
know.
Be it, then.
You would think so, but everybody there, I don't know why. Like, it obviously, it must have started as some sort of joke or slang, and it just caught on like wildfire. And now, if you go to Australia, they'll say Akadaka.
This isn't entirely related to what you're talking about, but when you talk to Australians, very few of them will even like acknowledge that AC/DC is an Australian band. And they're by far the most successful Australian band ever. They're one of the most successful bands of all time.
Is it one of those like love to hate them things out there maybe? And then that's why they've changed the name to Akadaka?
Well, they definitely do have a bit of that in Australia. They call it tall poppy syndrome, where if you get too famous, people will start to cut you down because they don't want you getting, you know, too big, too high on yourself compared to the rest of people.
You can't be bigger than us.
But if you ask Australians, like who are the biggest Australian artists, they'll say like Kylie Minogue. And it's like quite clearly AC/DC.
Akadaka, you mean?
Excuse me, I keep saying it wrong.
That's so funny to me. Like, can you imagine? Terry would not be cool. Like, if Terry went out to Australia and was like, I love AC/DC, and they're like, you mean Akadaka? That would not be good. Like, that would not stand. Although, I was thinking that Terry would probably get along quite well in Australia. I feel like that's a good Terry place.
Yeah.
It was like, they love to drink. They like the outdoors, a little rough around the edges sometimes, you know.
Lots of boobs to see on the beach.
Lots of boobs to see on the beach. Akadaka.
The home of Akadaka.
I'm going to call
He's going to have to get used to saying it like that, but.
He's not going to be a fan of it, but it's fine. It's fine.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I don't know how many Australian listeners we have who can either confirm or deny that, but I did get a message last week from Ian, and Ian was messaging from York, England.
Ian's the one who sent me a card. I have to send him one back.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Ian, it's coming. I promise I will. We don't have any like promo items that we have access to at the moment. So I want to send him some stickers and some stuff.
It's all locked in the promo closet.
Upstairs.
I don't trust us because I kept cutting the sleeves off of X shirts.
Yeah. Fair. Although I've also gone through 48 toques. So between the two of us, like, can I have another toque? They're probably like, we would have nothing left in that closet.
He sent us this photo of it's a really nice building in York, and it's an old cafe called Terry. There's Terry on the building, on the stonework. It says beautiful. Terry in the windows. I can't see in this photo, like, if the cafe is still open or, like, what's going on in the windows.
Is it called Terry's Terrace?
No, but that's good.
Yeah.
The Terrace?
The Terrace.
That's what Terry calls his butt.
It's true. I got a Terrace.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
You down for a little stoner talk this morning?
Sure.
Okay. I was thinking about another advantage that humans have over other species. Something that we can do that nobody else can. You know, obviously our brains are the biggest one. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing that sets us apart. Also things like walking upright or, you know, even our ability to run long distances. I think that's become fairly common knowledge over the past few years that like humans are better at running far distances than most other animals because of our like ability to expel heat.
Yeah.
You know, and keep our bodies cool.
Sweat.
Persistence hunting, you know, where basically in certain parts of the world, they would hunt animals to exhaustion just by running them down.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought of another one, and this was just from hanging out with my boys. Any guesses? Any guesses at what I'm thinking of, what we can do that no other species can do?
Well, we have great use of our hands and our thumbs and all that.
Yeah, there's that.
We can speak, which is a big one.
Language.
Language is key.
I was thinking of throwing. Can you think of another? I mean, like, monkeys will poop in their hand and throw it.
Right.
They'll fling it. But we have to be the only species that could throw accurately.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I went across the street and handed you a ball, you could probably hit me with that ball. Is there another species that can do that?
No. That does have kind of ties into hand dexterity. It's all that, yeah, we have enormous control over that. It's true.
And then to think of
like
how...
spear hunting and
exactly,
all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, throwing a spear... even like boomerangs
yeah.
in Australia. Think about how good some people are at throwing. There's no other species that can do that. They could throw like 100 miles an hour
no.
accurately. That's a wild skill.
It is crazy.
I don't know how often it was utilized as we evolved. Like you said, throwing a spear, but...
Spear hunting was huge, yeah.
Yeah.
Throwing things at birds in the sky, I don't know. Trying to get them down from there.
Because I was playing with my boys. We play this game where our trampoline has a net around it, and right. there's a small opening, and they run across the door, and I have to try to hit them with a ball as they cross like the small opening. And like, even I can get them sometimes. And I was thinking, that's the timing and the coordination that it takes to get the ball through that hole at just the right time is kind of incredible, and there's yeah. no other species in the world that can do that.
Nope.
A monkey might be able to hit you with its poop.
Yeah, like, depending on how
chance.
Motivated that monkey is, right? Like, you know, if it really wants to get you, maybe it can figure that out.
Yeah,
but
what did you say to him?
Exactly, right?
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Friend of the show, Grant, sent me a message on Instagram about the 10 most common reasons Apple rejects app submissions for the App Store.
Yep.
It's not everybody who submits gets in, and these are the things that will get you... rejected things like, you know, too many bugs, privacy issues. If you're just kind of blatantly ripping off someone else's mm-hmm. idea, they'll reject you.
Yep.
So if you're into that sort of thing, maybe the list interests you. But Grant was more concerned with who polices the submissions.
Oh my God.
Would they be considered app cops?
Nope.
No, they wouldn't?
No.
Okay, moving on.
Oh God.
Grant apologized too.
Did he?
He said, I'm sorry for doing this.
Grant,
to you
better be sorry.
But they are. They would.
Here we go.
Technically be app cops.
App cops!
App cops! We'll test out your app and we'll arrest you if it's crap.
App cops!
App cops!
We've got reports of a crash. Let's roll.
I have an app for you to test out, sir. Can you test it out? I'll make it appin'.
Boo!
Oh my God.
App cops!
App
boo! If you don't get the update, we'll have to confiscate.
App Store cops!
Son, this idea is inappropriate.
Oh, boo!
I am not appy.
Are those gang terms, son? No, sir, it's coding language.
That's right.
We'll test out your app today. If it sucks, you will pay.
Mobile application cops!
Mobile application cops!
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I finally have a phone that uses facial recognition, which took me a long time, I know. But when I was setting it up, it made me like move my face around in all the different directions to record it. So, of course, it would recognize me. And now I understand why people are a bit freaked out about that whole thing, because mm-hmm. a little bit disconcerting. Makes you do it twice, and it's a full, like, 3D printout of your face, essentially, that they take from you.
I know. I avoided, like, Snapchat filters for that reason,
yep.
but my phone already has it, so.
Even the grid they put up when it's, like, scanning, I'm like, this
spooky,
is
isn't it?
Terrifying. Yeah.
You're mapping my face right
you
now,
are
aren't
fully
you?
Fully mapping it, and not once, but twice, just to make sure in case the first time it didn't work out so well. But here's a question for you. Does Face ID still work if you've had some plastic surgery done?
That is a great question.
Like, Beckler, your wife recently had a nose job.
Mm-hmm.
Does it recognize her still?
I was curious about that myself.
And
it does. It does recognize her still. Her face doesn't look much different.
Right.
But I'm not sure which feature specifically that technology, like, keys on. Is it your eyes?
Is
it the shape of your face?
Or is it a bunch of them?
Yeah, like, how much surgery would you have to have before? Because, like, mine works when I'm wearing sunglasses and a hat.
Weird. And I wonder this, because if this is the same type of facial recognition software they use, let's say, at an airport or to track you down, you know, in all the movies and stuff, you put on a funny nose and some glasses and it can't recognize you. And I'm like, maybe the technology is actually better than that now.
That's even scarier.
Isn't it?
Have you heard of CV Dazzle?
No.
So CV Dazzle is, I think it stands for computer vision dazzle. And the idea is to disrupt the lines on your face and your features makeup and hair. To try to make yourself undetectable by that software. The Zolas have a song about it. It's really good. And I was reading about this one visual artist who's done a lot of work in CV artists. I think her name is...
Now that you mention this, we've definitely talked about this before, and I just forgot. I don't have a good memory. But yeah, that's fascinating as well.
And, you know, like, if we get to the point where there's a camera on every corner with facial recognition technology, maybe you'll see more people trying to employ some of these techniques. I don't know how well they work, because, like you said...
Huh. That would be a genius next $1 million idea, too. CV Dazzle makeup artist.
Well, I mean, the easy solution right now, if you're worried about that, is to wear a mask.
True. Just a mask at all times.
Because the facial recognition doesn't work when you're wearing your mask,
does it?
It's
true.
So.
That's safe. There you go.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
A Calgary Heritage Moment.
Lake Minnewanka is a popular tourist destination that sits on the edge of Banff's town site. And although the lake today seems rather undeveloped, that wasn't always the case.
Minnewanka means water of the spirits in Nakota, and was named that because of the frequently changing weather patterns and vicious wind gusts that seemingly pick up out of nowhere.
Indigenous people inhabited this area as early as 10,000 years ago, evidenced by many ancient tools and spearheads that are continually discovered by archaeologists.
The abundance of wildlife and easy access to rock made it a prime location to fashion tools for hunting. Much more recently, the area transformed into a small summer village called Minnewanka Landing.
This transformation really took off in 1886 with the completion of what was called the Beach House, which was a hotel on the lake constructed out of logs.
This was the beginnings of a resort town, which was frequented by Calgarians looking for a summer getaway. The town grew to include four avenues and three streets and a bunch of cabins, and hotels popped up as well.
Restaurants and sailing shops even offered up tours around the lake. In 1912, the construction of a new dam began as part of the Calgary Power Company's hydroelectric...
That's a tough one.
In 1912, the construction of a new dam began as part of the Calgary Power Company's hydroelectric plant operation being set up downriver.
This unfortunately caused a significant amount of flooding to Minnewanka Landing. But this didn't stop the area's development, and the resort town continued to thrive for 20 more years.
Unfortunately, the landing met its demise in 1941. A new dam was built, which raised the water levels 98 feet, entirely submerging the town of Minnewanka Landing in the process.
This is the lake we now know today, much bigger than its natural footprint. But believe it or not, the village of Minnewanka Landing still stands beneath the lake, and scuba divers frequent the area to explore the now underwater town.
Even though the resort village is no more, the frigid waters have kept the wooden structures in fairly good repair, meaning the town will be preserved underwater on Lake Minnewanka for many years to come. Only now, as an extremely exclusive resort town that can only be accessed by seasoned scuba divers.
This has been a Calgary Heritage Moment.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.